So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, Deep Divers. Thank you very much for joining me for this episode of Deep Dive Musings. My name is Adam Roa, and I am going to be taking you through a journey into my mind, just exploring some of the stuff that is currently top of mind for me and kind of my insight into what's been going on the last week or so, and maybe more importantly, what's going on internally as like a life journey. And so, yeah, before we get started, I do want to let you know that I have just opened up registration for another round of Unlocking Your Inner Artist. That's my four-week group coaching program that focuses on helping you tap into creativity as an access point that allows it to flow through you and becoming a vessel for those amazing creative messages to flow through you, rather than seeing it as something that needs to be self-generated from pure like effort and willpower. And yeah, so if you want to go to my website, adamroa.com, and find the upcoming section, you'll see both my one-man show, which is going to be in San Francisco on May 16th, and also the application for the Unlocking Your Inner Artist four-week course. So I encourage you to do that if you're interested. There's also some testimonials from people who were in it last time. And yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So getting to today's musing. Well, if you've been following my Facebook Lives or seen some of the posts that I've been posting about, you'll notice that over the last several weeks, I have started to get a number of angry commenters and angry messages and just people showing up in my field who have challenged me, and in all different ways, from essentially telling me that the only reason I do this is because of my giant ego, to telling me that I don't actually care about the planet because I'm not a vegan, to insulting my physical appearance by telling me I have a really big forehead, and all kinds of things in between, the whole spectrum. And what I've been calling this in, right? So I talk to everyone about how we create our reality. It's a foundational belief that I hold, and it's absolutely critical to everything that I coach and teach. And so when this has been happening on kind of a semi-regular basis over the last several weeks, I went into victim at first. I said, why is this happening? Like, all I'm trying to do is spread some love, and I'm getting such a backlash. And then very quickly said, wait, don't go into victim mode. Let's explore how you're creating this. Why are you creating this? And what I've arrived at, what I've realized, is that I have openly said, and I've said this to Melinda, and I believe that I've said this in either my Facebook Lives or on a previous podcast, I've openly said that I am questioning everything. Currently, I'm in the game of questioning everything that I believe, and really coming from a space of the beginner's mind and trying to challenge myself to say, well, why do I believe the things that I believe? What's the reasoning behind it? What is the evidence that I have for these beliefs? Why am I choosing to live my life a certain way? And I'm questioning everything. And I think a big part of the reason for that is because my one-man show, Permission to Think Freely, is an invitation to do that as well. I'm inviting others to question why they think the way they do, and even open themselves up to different ways of thinking. And so I believe that since I've been doing that in the one-man show, the creation of it over the last several weeks and the performance of it a few weeks ago and coming up in San Francisco, I think that my mind is going there. My mind is going to the place where, well, why don't I question everything? And here's the amazing thing about that. If I want to question everything that I believe, then the most sure way for me to call that into my experience is to create scenarios in which people are challenging what I believe and what I say, right? So having someone tell me that I don't actually care about the planet or about humanity because I'm not a vegan, that's a challenge to the belief of why I'm not a vegan or why I think that there's different diets for everyone, and there's not one ideology that will apply and be most beneficial to every human being. So that resistance that I face is actually the thing that presents me with an opportunity for growth. It presents me with an opportunity to analyze and look at why I believe the things I do. And so I made that very detailed kind of analysis in my journal that I shared in my Facebook Live, where I really looked at all the different arguments being made for veganism and explored if any of them were what I resonate with, if there was a reason why I didn't say, oh, that's 100% right, now I have to be vegan. And that's just one example, but like similarly with my post about is my ego bigger than Trump's, and someone telling me that the only reason I'm doing any of this is because I have an ego bigger than Trump's, instead of immediately writing that off and saying, well, that guy's just angry and I'm not going to listen to him, saying, okay, well, let's take a look at that. What do I actually believe? I believe that I can change the world. I believe, like, the ego, right? The part of me that believes in myself and my self-worth and my self-importance enough to believe that I can actually change the world. Well, that ego is the thing that's allowing me to put out the podcast and the videos and speak all over the world. It's allowing me to do that because I believe that I can change the world. I think anyone who, like, Trump also believes that. Trump also believes that he can change the world. How we're going about it looks very different. Maybe our core values are very different, but we both share that one similar thing. And if that's what it means to have a big ego, then yeah, I guess my ego is as big as Trump's. I even said that maybe my ego's bigger because I'm not a billionaire. And so maybe logically it requires a bigger ego to believe you can change the world when you're not a billionaire. My point is that I've received this resistance, and I'm seeing it as exactly what I've called in. I have asked and I have committed to questioning everything that I believe and having a re-examination of all of my values and my thoughts and my beliefs. And so that resistance coming in is a gift. It's actually what I'm asking for. And what's interesting is how it started to impact my dreams. So last night I had, and over the last week, I've had several really violent dreams. I'm not gonna go into too many specifics, but I've had some violent dreams and I couldn't understand why. And then I realized, well, I'm having some conflict in my life currently, right? I'm having some opposition. I'm having some resistance. And then last night I had this dream where I killed someone. This is a medieval time period. And I was in some sort of like knight's battle of some kind. And I killed this person in an incredibly graphic, violent way. And when I did it, I had this feeling that really surprised me, which was afterwards I felt such fear. And in that moment, I recognized that the reason why I had essentially killed this person as violently as I could think of in this like hand-to-hand combat situation was because I'm so afraid of more people coming at me in that physical confrontation that I felt like, well, if I can intimidate everyone, if I can show them that I'm willing to go this far, people will be less likely to challenge me. People will be less likely to want to engage in some sort of violence with me, and therefore I'm actually protecting myself by taking this approach of being as violent as I can be. And I'd never ever considered that before. But as I was journaling about it this morning, it came through and I realized how similar that dream was, that way of handling conflict in that dream is to how I used to approach psychological conflict, how I used to approach challenges to my ideologies. You see, when I got into arguments with people, if people challenged what I believed, when I was younger, I used to immediately go, okay, you want to get into this like intellectual battle? You want to get into the ring? I am going to make it my goal, not just to prove my point, but to make you look stupid in the process. I'm going to show you why it was a dumb decision to even question my beliefs. And I recognize now, because of that dream, it's the same thing. I felt like if I could make people feel stupid in an argument, then next time they were that much less likely to actually question what I said. I was less likely to be challenged. And why was that so important to me? It was so important because at the time, looking back on it, I didn't have the level of self-worth or self-confidence to handle being wrong. I didn't, everything that I believed, I was something that I attached my value to. Because I wasn't, especially growing up, I wasn't a big physical guy. I'm still not a big physical guy. And so my intellectual belief systems, my intellectual values, that was where I assigned my self-worth. And my identity was in those beliefs. And so if people questioned my beliefs and my values, well, they were questioning my very identity. And because I identified so much of myself and my worth with my intellectual values, that means that they were questioning my very self-worth, my very worthiness on this planet anytime I was being challenged. And so I couldn't handle the idea of being wrong, which in my mind equated to being less worthy, having less value on this planet. I couldn't handle it. And so I wanted to avoid as many instances of being challenged as possible, because every challenge, it wasn't like I enjoyed being right, that I would seek out the challenges just to be right. I enjoyed being right because it allowed me to not fear being challenged again, because every challenge was the potential of my self-worth going down. And so it's interesting to see how many other people may be coming from that exact same place, right? When I posted the video about veganism, which wasn't even about veganism, let me just make that clear. If you listened to the last podcast with Nathaniel Salas, you know what I'm talking about. And or if you watch the Facebook Lives, but it wasn't even about veganism. And it became kind of this back and forth comment battle with some vegans who were really angry with me. And it, when I look at that now from this new perspective that I just had this morning, I can recognize, well, how many of them may be feeling fear? How many of them may be exactly where I was back when I was in junior high school? Feeling like they've attached their level of value, their level of self-worth to an ideology, to a belief system. And so the questioning of that belief system actually is a questioning of their very worth on this planet. And they're afraid of that. They don't like that. They don't like those, that potential existing. And so anytime that it happens, they resort to making the person feel bad. Attacking, going on the attack. Insulting someone's physical appearance or telling them they don't care about the planet, whatever it is, in order to create a almost like a protective bubble that they feel where, okay, now people know that if they question me, they're going to feel bad. That means that I'm less likely to be questioned, which means I'm less likely to have the potential to feel less self-worth. And this, again, I want to move past veganism. This is just what happened most recently for me. But think about that with religion. With religion. Think of how many people have died and are continuing to die in the name of religion. If we adopt a perspective of, wow, maybe they're really, really scared. Maybe their self-worth and their values are attached so deeply to this religion, this ideology, that the very questioning of that religion, the very questioning of their belief structures, they're taking as a personal attack. They're making it mean that they may have less value on this planet, and they're scared of that. And so we go into fight or flight, right? What we saw in the elections was a lot of flight. And what I mean by that is there were lots of people who were voting for Donald Trump, and the polls did not reflect that because those people didn't want to be questioned. They didn't want that potential challenge. They didn't want any of the backlash, and they went into flight mode. And we also saw a lot of fight, right? We saw a lot of angry protesters. We saw a lot of people getting into fights at political rallies, etc. But you saw both of it. The thing was, people weren't expecting that flight response. People weren't expecting people to be hiding out, not wanting to engage in any sort of potential debate over the ideologies, over the beliefs. And so I talked about this on a previous Facebook Live, but there's such a thing called the backfire effect. And the backfire effect is how your brain responds biologically to a psychological threat the same way that it responds to a physical threat. That means the amygdala in your brain actually reacts, the neurons fire in the same way when someone is questioning your beliefs as if they are threatening you physically. That's intense. That means that in order to actually have a really productive conversation and an exploration of opposing viewpoints, to actually be willing to question your own beliefs when someone presents you with new information, well then, you have to override your biological response. You have to override your fight or flight to be able to do that. That's why it's so hard. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I feel like if you post an opinion to social media, or if you say it in conversation and someone gets incredibly triggered and goes on the attack and wants to make you feel bad or stupid or like less of a caring individual, whatever it is, well then, does it shift your experience if you can see them as being incredibly afraid? I know it does for me. If I can view that person who's coming at me with anger and saying, wow, just my opinion has set you off because it's a different opinion. And by the way, one that's well thought out. I research like everything and I explore everything and I question everything. So if I have an opinion, I've probably thought it out. I've probably looked at it from multiple angles and I've arrived at a certain conclusion. And if my expressing that conclusion I've arrived at is enough to trigger you, then I can see you as potentially being like a junior high school me, being someone who's protecting themselves. And the intention is no longer about making me feel bad, like that may be what it looks like. The intention is actually protecting themselves from the fear that they may not be enough. And the moment that I drop into that place, my heart expands and I feel so much more compassion. And compassion leads to understanding, because compassion is love. We don't have to agree, but if we can treat each other with compassion, can you imagine that? All the different countries that are arguing, all the different religious and political groups, imagine now that we don't have to agree. Our stances don't necessarily change, but all our interaction comes from a place of compassion. What an amazing shift the world would see. And so for me, that's the starting place. Like if we can even just get to that, that's an amazing leap forward. And I've arrived here, I've arrived at this point, at this moment, because of a dream I had last night that I journaled about in the morning. That dream, in many ways, is the result of all the conflict that I'm having, or have been having. And that conflict that I have been having is the result of my desire to question everything that I currently believe. So I'm creating all of it. And I wanted to share with you the journey from point A to point B, from what my intention was to how it showed up and to now what I'm taking away from it. The willingness to question our belief structures, the willingness to look at other opposing viewpoints is so critical. And in many ways, why it's so scary is because it's a death process. It's a process of allowing what we have built ourselves up on, what we have chosen to believe, what we've identified with, as we question that, we are open to the possibility that some of it will die away. Certain beliefs will die and fall away. And I want to read to you a very short couple line poem by Rumi. I died as mineral and became plant. I died as plant and rose to animal. I died as animal and I became human. Why should I fear anything? When was I ever less by dying? I find that poem to be incredibly beautiful and absolutely applicable to this situation, because it's not even about dying as a form of reincarnation and moving up the karmic ladder. But when have you ever had an old belief die away because of new information and new exploration, and you felt less because of it? When you have questioned why you believe the things you do, when you have arrived at new conclusions through the seeking of new information, have you not always felt more full? Have you not felt more whole? So I encourage you with this musing to question everything. Be willing to examine your beliefs and why you think the way you do. And if someone questions you and what you believe, recognize the biological fight or flight that's happening and say, okay, this is an opportunity for me to examine why I believe the things that I do. And maybe you'll still disagree with the person who's questioning you, and that's okay. Can you do that with compassion? And if they get angry, can you maintain that compassion? Can you continue to see that the fact that they're getting angry is just a reflection of their need to protect themselves and their beliefs that have become their identity? I don't have the answers. This is how I'm starting. This is how I'm approaching what's showing up in my field, and this is my commitment to always being the best version of myself that I can possibly be, whatever that looks like in each and every moment. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this journey that I'm on, every single one of you. I have a deep level of gratitude in my heart. So thank you. You are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.